Tonight's year, as we just mentioned, is talking about secular names, non-Jewish names, however you want to refer to them. What's already been alluded to is, my name is Michael, even though everybody calls me Ari. My Hebrew name is Moshe Ari, but on my birth certificate it says Michael Ari. And it is a name that I have used in many different capacities. Truth is, in business nowadays, I do use Ari. It is more of a common name, and it's not as crazy a name, but I definitely have considered using Michael and have used Michael in the past. So the question is, pertaining to this week's Parsha, these are the names of Bnei Yisrael that went down to Mitzrayim. Names are an important fact, a factor, defining feature of a person, and we're taught that one of the things that saved Klal Yisrael is that they didn't change their names in Mitzrayim. They didn't change their clothing, didn't change their names, didn't change their language. It's very obvious right now we're giving this shiur in English. Most of us communicate in English. There certainly are groups in Klal Yisrael that are somewhat opposed to using non-Jewish languages, things that aren't specific to the Jewish people. Jewish people have had Jewish dialects and languages throughout the ages. Obviously, Hebrew comes to mind right away. Yiddish, Ladino, there have been others that have been either variations of the general language and just modified with significant amounts of Hebrew or other things that were specific to the Jews and ended up being their own dialect of whatever language it was. So we do see that to a degree. But we're going to focus tonight on names, especially since the Parsha is Shmos. So is it mutter to firstly name one's child with a secular name, a non-Jewish name? Is it mutter to use such a name also? We see it was such a defining feature of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. You know, maybe one should really be hesitant at the very least, if not even makbid, completely not to use such names. Just point out a few things. While we're starting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky theorizes that the name Ephraim is actually an Egyptian name. It's not Hebrew in its nature. He does discuss that in Parshas Vayechi. It's of note, and perhaps we'll get back to this, that Moshe was called his name, Moshe, by Bisya. That usually throws people for a loop. In Tanakh, in Divrei Hayom, it's actually Bisya, not Basya. But she called him Moshe, ki min hamayim ishisiyu, because she drew him from the water. And the Ibn Ezra points out that he actually, she really was thinking of the common Egyptian name, Monios, which would have connoted that, and she was familiar with Lashon HaKodesh. So really what she did was she Hebraicized an Egyptian name. Now, does that make it a Jewish name? Or is it just a Hebraicized, you know, Egyptian name, but it's essentially Egyptian? More commonly nowadays we find, as I started tonight, you know, my name is Michael. Generally, that should be Michal, as what was pointed out. But that's essentially a biblical or at least Jewish name. You know, many what we would call English names, John is Yochanan. You know, many of these names really are just anglicized versions of either biblical or Hebrew names. So, does that have any bearings to not make it, so to speak, a non-Jewish name or something? Maybe we should also address. So when we start this year, you know, we definitely do find there was a mila to it in Mitzrayim. There is, as with anything, varying opinions as to how to treat such names. The Maharam Shik is perhaps the most pronounced and the strongest in his opinion when he says that, in fact, it is 100% completely usher to use such names. He cites a pasuk that says that Hashem will separate us from amongst the nations, and therefore we have to be distinct. And to be distinct, part of that is not to compare ourselves and to try to act like the other nations. Part of that is to retain our own culture. The identity of a people, and certainly of a person, is essentially his name or her name. And therefore, one actually is prohibited, according to the Maram Shik, from using secular names. Still a little vague as to what that means, but whatever he's talking about is Aser, according to him. And it's for that specific reason also. Before we go a little bit into the reasoning behind it that he cites in his tshuva, I just want to give a little background about the Maram Shik. And it's something that we've mentioned. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, one of the Gedolei Yisrael and the foremost poskim of his time period, he was one of the primary Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer. And there was something happening right at his time period which was very important to put things in perspective. And that is that reform was really taking off in Europe, and he was one of the strongest and most vocal opponents to the reform movement. So he was fighting that very proactively. Now, some have theorized that some of his tshuvas should be taken within that mindset to recognize what he was coming against. Now, taking that light, to say, hey, keep your Jewish identity, it's very important in a world that people are literally falling to the wayside, so to speak, in what was considered to be the more traditional approach to Judaism and adherence to halacha was really falling to the wayside. People in mass were leaving. So to define oneself with their Jewish name was extremely important. I don't know if I would go that extreme to say that that's what motivated the tshuva and that it was political in nature, although I can see there are those who may say such things, but at least to put it into that perspective, that if he's dealing with an iser of becoming similar to Goyim, it may have, in his time period, been considered more of a histamus, of comparing oneself and becoming more non-Jewish by taking on a what would be considered not Jewish name in that time period than perhaps in this time period. So I'm not saying that it was necessarily politically motivated, like others may have contended about the Maram Shik's tshuva, but we do have to recognize the political platform and world that he was really addressing, because if the iser that he was addressing was those names were actively, engaging those prohibitions at that time period, doesn't mean it necessarily that the same action in today's day and age is going to violate the exact same Isurim. We may be in a different world, so to speak, where having a non-Jewish name doesn't necessarily mean that you're comparing yourself and you're actively, embracing more of a non-Jewish lifestyle. So that's just something to keep in mind. However, right now, let's just take it at its, simple level. And we also, keep in mind, we'll also find other, Rabbanim and their opinions that may be counter to the Maram Shik, even if we do water it down, so to speak, by changing the political, outlook of today versus what it was then. He's essentially coming, obviously he's attributing it to a pasuk, but it's very difficult in the 1800s just to darshan a pasuk and create an issur that didn't exist before. That in itself would have been deemed somewhat reform. It's also notable the Chasam Sofer himself, from certain things we have written of his, doesn't seem to be as strong as his Talmud. Keep in mind, the Chasam Sofer himself with other tshuvas may have written certain things which weren't political when he wrote them, and subsequently became political issues and therefore were suppressed. Something that we have talked about in the past is Mitzitza Bepeh, and the Chasam Sofer did write a tshuva in the circumstances in his time period with children who were sick or could contract diseases because of Mitzitza Bepeh, and therefore he allowed the use of doing Mitzitza with a sponge. That tshuva was not included within his tshuvas, because shortly after it's being written And by the time the Maram Shik and Maria Sad and other Talmidim were essentially compiling things, that item became a very politically debated item in Reform, so it was left out. So there are things that you have to realize. There was a major issue going on in Europe at that time period. Either way, he didn't just create this Isser without any Talmudic or at least Rishonic basis. There's a Tosfos in Gittin that's very interesting. It's perhaps going to be the most primary source we have, so we're not really going to find anything in Shas, which is notable. We have this Medrash we're talking about, but it's not really Shas. There's this Tosfos that tells us that he's wondering about using somebody's, we'll call it not-Jewish name, in a get. Now, a get is somewhat a davar kadosh. It's a holy document to a degree. It's not Seamus, per se. It's not holy in that if I have a cloth that has become designated, halachically designated for a mezuzah or for something else, I'm not allowed to now use it for a get. Compared to things like that, it's divrei chol, but as opposed to just writing down a journal of what happened to me today or my diary, a get is something that's a little more kadosh, so to speak, than that. It's Jewish as opposed to just something every people do. It has halachic significance, and because of that, Tosfos says that somebody now has a non-Jewish name. He didn't necessarily start out with such a non-Jewish name. He now has taken a non-Jewish name. That non-Jewish name should not be included in the get. Chas v'shalom, this is Rabbeinu Tam talking, that Tosfos is quoting, Chas v'shalom should we include such, shemos akum in a get.
Would that apostle a get?
It wouldn't necessarily apostle it per se, but you see that Tosfos is clearly frowning upon it and saying it should not be used in this context. Now, does that mean it's usher to take such a name? You clearly see Rabbeinu Tam is coming out with some very strong words against it. So,
if it's done, Tosfos is not saying that the get would be...
No, he's not saying it's apostle. He's not saying it's apostle. And that's not really within the scope of what we're going to talk about tonight. That's a Hilchos Gittin Shalom, but it's not apostle. At the same point in time, he's saying, Chas v'shalom, should we put it in a get?
Well, the question is, if a parent gives a child a non-Jewish name...
Maybe he should change it.
He would have the requirement to change it so that therefore he can essentially write a contractual document that binding the halacha.
We need to see what's going on. So, and that's going to be, this is the subject of debate. The Maram Shik takes it that a non-Jewish name should not be included in a get. Now, you've just suggested a case which is not exactly the one that Rabbeinu Tam was addressing. And that's something that we need to focus on a little bit more. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about somebody who started out with a non-Jewish name, with a Jewish name, and now has taken a non-Jewish name. Chas v'shalom, he says, should we take a non-Jewish name and include it in the get? The Maram Shik is not understanding that the issue at hand is that he's changed from a Jewish name to a non-Jewish name. He's looking at it more that Chas v'shalom, should we include such a name in a get, that the name itself, a non-Jewish name, is not something that Jews should have. That seems to be what he's taking from it. Regardless of what the halachic validity of such a get is, if it were to be included. But you see that we're frowning upon it, and we don't want to include it in something that is quasi-holy. So that's where the Maram Shik is coming from. And you see, whatever Rabbeinu Tam is talking about, it's clearly something that he's advocating one not embrace. That's the Maram Shik, his approach. Now, we have some concerns that we have to ask on the Maram Shik, and perhaps on Rabbeinu Tam. The name Vidal, I don't know if anybody has heard of it, most of us have with certain cosmetics maybe. So it did not start off as a Jewish name. Yet that was the Magid Mishnah's name. The other Rishonim also had the name Vidal. Rabbi Yossi ben Chalavda named his child Avordimus, or Avordimus, depending if you're looking at the Yerushalmi or other places.
Vidal is Chaim, right?
I do not believe it's Chaim.
The word Vidal means, I thought about life, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I do know it's not Jewish in its origins. So, Rabbi Yosef Echlafta, Tana, he named his child Vordimus, which is Greek. Antigonus Yisocho seems to be a Greek name. Sumchus seems to be a Greek name. Yishmael is not. There's a Pesamim Rosh, Tuvas Pesamim Rosh. That in itself is a whole parsha, how to treat the Pesamim Rosh, because it seems to be a forgery. But he has a whole thing about Yishmael. But Yishmael was called Yishmael by God. And Avram seems to have, you know, agreed to that name. The issue there that people address is he seems to have been a Rasha, but either because he was initially called that by God, therefore the name still was in use, or because perhaps he did Tshuva B'Sof Yamav, which their Midrashim have discussed that also. So therefore the name was a Jewish name, essentially until the rise of Islam and shortly after. And now it's not so common. It's kind of been discarded because of the rise of Islam. But that would not necessarily be a non-Jewish name. My son's name, my youngest son, his first name is Alexander. That's, I'm assuming, Macedonian, maybe Greek. So it's now a Jewish name. It did not start off being a Jewish name. Now my son, just because I named my son something that's not comparable to all these other Tenoim, Amoraim.
Plenty.
Alexander is a common name. Yeah.
I said from 300 years past.
Correct. I'm saying in my son, meaning, and it happens to be a, or it used to be more common Jewish name. Even now, it's somewhat common. Avtulmus is essentially Ptolemy.
Is there an Abaitosus Peter?
There's a Peter.
Peter?
It's questionable whether it's Peter or not, what the source of that name is. But yes, that would seem to be someone or a non-Jewish name.
How are we defining a non-Jewish name? One that's not identified in Tanakh?
One that came from another culture. Let's leave it at that. A name that came from another culture. The names we've talked about all came from other cultures. So, how do we address this? Rabbi Tam was familiar with some of these people, certainly the ones in Shas. So, what's going on? Presumably the Ramshik also was familiar with this. So, did he see them as anomalies? Things we don't really paskin like? It just happens to be? That's what's going on. So there are other approaches to that Rabbeinu Tam, and I do want to revisit the Ram Sheikh also and put it into the context of today's day and age and see if it was something a little more specific as we've already alluded to earlier. But the Taz and the Yeshuas Yaakov have a very different take on that Tosfos. And they say something that seems to be more of what we've also kind of alluded to. Rabbeinu Tam was specifically talking about a case where somebody started off with a Jewish name, discarded it, and took a non-Jewish name. Presumably, it wasn't just for business purposes. That happens all the time nowadays, where somebody might not have a name that was given to them, a secular name on their birth certificate, but they have a very Jewish-sounding name. They enter the workplace. They don't want that because they feel like they'll be discriminated against and they won't be able to do business properly. So they pick up a name which may or may not sound similar to what their Hebrew name is. You know, a guy's name is Shmuel, he might go by Sam. He might not have Samuel or Sam on his birth certificate, but he'll pick it up because it works. So that's not what the Taz and the Yeshuas Yaakov understand that Rabbeinu Tam was talking about. He was talking about a person who actually threw away his Jewish name because he wanted to become more non-Jewish. He wanted to embrace another culture. He wanted to get away from it. He took a Shema. He took a non-Jewish name. And because of that, Rabbeinu Tam is saying, Chas v'shalom, a person who's trying to get away from his Judaism, should we embrace that name and include it in anything Jewish? It's not talking about a guy Shmuel who took the name Sam. It's not talking about a guy Shmuel who picked up a name Jim for whatever reason, because that's just what he decided to go with, even though there's nothing to do with Shmuel. It's not even a transliteration, or a translation, I should say, of Shmuel. It's talking about a guy who did not want to be perceived as Jewish for religious identity purposes, not for business purposes, and therefore, Chas v'Shalom, should we include such a thing in a get. That would allow us to understand now very strongly, so why do we have all these other names in Tanakh? In Shas, why was it common certain names throughout history? Because there's nothing wrong with it. If you're embracing your Jewish identity, then you don't have an issue. In fact, Ad kedei kach, there are achronim who maintain that in the event that somebody did not have a Jewish name when he was born, but had a Jewish identity, and threw away his Jewishness and decided to become not Jewish, so to speak, at least in practice, and with his embracing this other religion, or no religion, whatever it is that he's embracing, perhaps he wanted to identify himself as the former Jew, and maybe, you know, have some sort of clout in his new crowd with whom he's associating, because he was somebody who has now entered and joined, and to still show them where he was coming from, but without any connection to where he was coming from. So he now takes a Jewish name. They hold that in such a case, you put the non-Jewish name in the get, not the Jewish name. Because his Jewish name is how he identifies his persona with his non-Jewish identity. And that's something to keep out of the get. Whereas his non-Jewish name, which he identifies and was identified with his Jewish persona, which he's unfortunately abandoned, that is what should be included in the get. So you actually see that that is how strongly they feel about it. Now, the get pashut, it's a sefer written on Hilchos Gittin and get on Gittin, and you're familiar with it if they've done Maseches Gittin. So he takes a similar but slightly different approach to the Taz and the Yeshuas Yaakov, but it's also not that of the Maram Shik, and that is that it's only if you take a name that is specifically not Jewish. There are certain names that, at least in the U.S., if a Jewish person has, they look at you like you're, you know, from another planet. Because they're identified specifically with other religions. Muhammad. So the name Muhammad is, we don't name Muhammad. Why don't we name Muhammad? Because it's talking about the prophet of another nation who founded an entirely different religion. It's anathema to Judaism and to Mosaic principles and to our beliefs in Torah's Moshe. So because of that, embracing that type of a name would be problematic. Jesus. That's not going to work. It's not going to fly. Christian, Christopher. These things would be problematic, perhaps, to take as in. That's how the Get Pashut says it. Now, all three, the Maram Shik, the Taz, Yeshuas Yaakov, and the Get Pashut, it seems they're all focused on the same general Isser. And that general Isser is becoming too similar to the guy. The Maram Shik was seemingly anything. The Taz and Yeshuas Yaakov didn't necessarily see the name as being a problem, but if a person actively went against and tried to become not Jewish by changing his name, whatever that name change is, because he's doing it to get away from being Jewish, that is the violation. Whereas that exact same name is not problematic if he was born with it or took it for different reasons. And then the Get Pashut, who is telling us that, no, you're only violating that name in the event that you actually took a name that is specifically and, you know, generally only going to be found with non-Jewish people. Now there is another Gemara in Gittin, earlier Gemara, that discusses that Edim, that are on a get, you know, Gittin come with Edim signed at the bottom. So if they have non-Jewish names and they're coming from Chutz La'aretz, you can generally assume that they are Jewish people. And the reason is, the Gemara says, most Jewish people in Chutz La'aretz, this is obviously in the time of Gemara, have non-Jewish names. So we see in the times of Shas, most Jews living outside of Eretz Yisrael, or wherever Chutz La'aretz is, presumably it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not a specific country necessarily, had non-Jewish names. So some have maintained, because of this, you see, you know, how do you read this with that Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam is a later Gemara, but he's still in the same Masechta. What, did he not have the earlier Sugya where you see most Jews had it? So either you have to say that most Jews were doing some sort of Isser, according to Rabbeinu Tam, We'll leave the Maram Shik to the side for a second. I want to come back to him. But according to the Yeshuas Yaakov and Taz, not necessarily an issue. They never changed their names to be non-Jewish and have a non-Jewish identity. Those are the names that people use in those cultures. They're nice names, so use them. So that's what they did. You know? And certainly according to the Get Pashut, it's not an issue. Now, I don't know that it's necessarily a proof. Because the non-Jewish names here, the Gemara is not talking about whether they're halachically, not valid, whether they should have done that or not. It's just saying practically it is what it is. So the Gemara may not be telling us that it's mutter or aser for them to have taken that. But you'll say, what's the possibility that most Jews, which some have maintained, what's the possibility that most Jews and the Chacham weren't speaking out against it? But that's something that we'll leave up for debate a little bit. We've talked about with some of the shiurim in the past that had to do a little more with history, that with the exception of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and even not all of Bavel necessarily, not all of Eretz Yisrael, you had rabbinic communities, and then the majority of other communities, some more populous than others, didn't have so much of a rabbinic presence, and oftentimes were much more assimilated. So while they did have some Jewish identity and did, for certain things, have halachic interactions, or at least tshuvas and things, with the more rabbinic centers, it's not so pashut that every aspect of their lives are being done in accordance with what the Rabbanim would have been comfortable with. And just because the Rabbanim didn't speak out against it, I don't think necessarily is a proof. So that Gemara isn't a proof, but at least it makes us a little more suspect. If most Jews in Chutz La'aretz, you still do have Bavel, you still do have rabbinic communities here and there, just raising the point that it does seem that, a little weird, so to speak, if there's an Isser, if most Jews in Chutz La'aretz did have non-Jewish names. I just want to discuss for a moment the Igros Moshe, who has a tshuva on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he's also of the opinion that there's no problem with having non-Jewish names. And he actually addresses, he brings these names from Shas and elsewhere, and he says, look, historically we've done this. And he says something interesting, because we do have to address, what about that Madrash we talked about? Now, if you have a Madrash, it doesn't necessarily mean it's halacha. But you see, it seems to be advocated that we should have some Jewish identification. So Rav Moshe says something very interesting, and he says, that Medrash isn't really applicable nowadays, because before the Torah was given, that was how you identified as a Jew. The reason they were saved from Mitzrayim was because they kept their names, their culture, essentially. Once we have the Torah, we have a much stronger identifying feature and a much more important identifying feature. Our Torah and our mitzvahs that we serve Hashem with. That is the defining feature of the Jew, and therefore the other things aren't important anymore. So post-Matan Torah, you don't have the necessity to adhere to that metrish anymore. And that's Rav Moshe's take on it, which seems fairly logical when you think about it, and it really resonates. So those are the essential shitas. To go back to the Maram Shig, I think he recognized what we're talking about here, and I think he recognized that there are historically in Shas and Rishonim are people who have had non-Jewish names. And I don't think he meant that for all generations prior to his, and necessarily after his, that it's prohibited from using non-Jewish names. I think he was saying, in his generation, when the overwhelming majority of people who were doing so to abandon Judaism, it wasn't the case that the Taz and Yeshuas Yaakov projected into Rabbeinu Tam's case. It wasn't that, but it was the same underlying theme behind it. It wasn't somebody personally who was rejecting his Judaism, but it was a whole culture that was rejecting it, and therefore they were naming their children secular names. The people themselves who changed their names to be more secular, and when I say secular, I mean not just to work in the modern workplace and to deal with non-Jewish people in the workplace, but people who were interested in abandoning their adherence to halacha, it wasn't just them personally, their children, everybody, they wanted to embrace a new lifestyle. Whether that's the individual or the individual telling his child what his new name is, whatever it is, it's all the same what the Taznei shows Yaakov. I don't think the Ramshik is all that different, even though he is, in practice, he's saying it's not just the person abandoning it, but I think it's because in his time period, that's really what was happening. He can't get around all these questions that we're asking about all these Tanoim, Amroim, Rishonim, Machronim, etc. And therefore, I think that if you're not doing it to be mizdamet to the other nations, and you're not, it's very common to have Jews by almost any name, in America at least, almost any American name, with a few exceptions. And those exceptions may be what the Get Pasha is talking about, or whatever it is, but as long as your intentions aren't to be, try to embrace the, being not Jewish, and to abandon your Yiddishkeit, then I think even the Maram Shik would be in agreement to name one's child, to use such names, that there's nothing wrong with it in today's day and age. Every generation has its own nisyonos, and, even within generations, times change. So right now we live in a point in time when I don't think that it's an issue. Who knows in 5 years from now what the case will be? You take it as it goes. But at the same point in time, right now it does not seem to be a concern, and I would even hear it being a hard, read, even for the Maram Shik. So therefore, I'm not saying that it doesn't show one's Jewish identity if they want to embrace a Jewish name, but it's certainly not necessary. It's very common. People grow up, in America, and then they go to Eretz Yisrael for a year or two, and Isaac becomes Yitzchak, and everything changes. Is it necessary? I don't think it's necessary. It could be a positive quality. Not necessarily also. A lot depends on the real motivations. But, if it's an embracing of a Jewish identity, great. But you don't need the name to embrace the Jewish identity. And that's what Rav Moshe really brings to the table. Post Matan Torah, embracing your Jewish identity is embracing Torah and mitzvahs. This can be something to enhance it, and each individual has to make that decision for themselves, whether it enhances or doesn't enhance it. Certainly in the business world, and even not, there aren't issues. One thing I will say also, Rav Asher Weiss I saw says that, he's mechalik between names that have entered into Jewish culture. And he says whether or not they should have or shouldn't have entered into Jewish culture, one can argue. But once they're in Jewish culture, he doesn't make the same chiluk that I'm saying about the Maram Shik and all these other things, although I think it's pretty clear. But, he says, certainly something that has become part of Jewish culture, that's a non-issue, even if it started out not being part of Jewish culture. So that's something that he addresses. He also is makel in the end of the day, although he does advocate that there's something nice about having a Jewish name, and it may be a mila, but he maker then holds that it's, fine, so long as it's not a rejection of Yiddishkeit and an embracing of being and trying to be have a non-Jewish identity. He does have that other chilek, which I just felt, is important to speak out.
But even according to Oshita, let's say names like John or James would prohibit it. I mean,
would or would not? According to who?
According to all, even the most makel Shita would have to admit that a name like John or James.
I don't think so. I mean, I think
anybody would associate that with the gospel. I mean, it's very hard.
Yes and no. I mean, I think nowadays, James, there's enough James is around that, I don't think people think of it too much. It's a name that's not a common name in America, or one that is so specific with a religious
Christopher, I can understand.
Christopher, Christian. Just John, I mean, there are plenty of Johns. It was originally Yochanan, and, or short for Jonathan, depending. Yochanan is with the H, and Jonathan is obviously John without the H, is for Yonason. I don't know that people really associate. They just think of it as a name. When people call their child Michael, I don't think they're thinking of the angel. I think they're just
angel, I mean the one from the old, I mean
Michal,
which is in the Old Testament already. I mean,
okay.
A name like James, I mean that's strictly a New Testament name.
Well, it's just Yaakov that's been carried over to, you know, with a Latin form of it. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what its origins are either with what I'm saying. Once it's considered a common name that's used by, in your case, Christians and non-Christians, the fact that, you know, I think non-Christians or atheists will take the name James and not see the significance in it, because I don't think too many atheists are calling the kid Christian. It's just not happening. So, you know, that being the case, I think that's one of the points here that we're focused on. Is it associated with Christianity? And with that, or Islam, depending on which religion it is. And one of the ways you can look at it is, forgetting about Jewish people, do other religions refer to that name that don't, you know, subscribe to those beliefs? And I think if you find it, you find it. And if you don't, then that's going to be more of the issue.
Would last names play any role, or it's whatever you want?
Last names, I mean,
same idea.
Same thing. A name's a name. What's in a name? You know, Rose, by any other name?
There are no Jews named Romeo. That's what I think.
Who knows?
I said, Tom.